Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With Antoine Walker. Twan, the NBA restart right around the corner. LeBron is clearly excited about it. I know that because I have an Instagram account. The King took to the gram late last night, posting a photo with the caption, "War ready, hashtag revenge season, continue soon." There he is. So dramatic. The West leading Lakers were rolling when the NBA came to a halt. So what will they look like when the games pick up again? Anthony Davis says they'll be better. Said, quote, "Our chances are higher because we're all rested and we're all ready to go." But Nick, so are all the other teams. Are you buying AD's claim?
No, Jenna, I'm not buying AD's claim. Oh. And I like and support Anthony Davis, but this is his most ridiculous public statement since he claimed when he wore the "That's All Folks" shirt to his last game in New Orleans that he doesn't pick out his own clothing. Anthony. When the season was halted, LeBron was playing his best basketball since 2018. Back-to-back Western Conference Player of the Month. Giannis had just gotten dinged up and hurt. The Clippers, Kawhi was still load managing and they hadn't figured out their rotation. Meanwhile, the Lakers were as healthy, playing their best basketball of the year, and they were about to be able to cash in what they had worked for all year, Antoine, which was home court advantage. Now, nobody has home court advantage. Everyone else that was banged up gets healthier. Giannis will be healthy. Kawhi, we know how desperately important rest is to him. He's fully rested. And the Lakers lost Avery Bradley. So I still think they're the favorites. But the idea, Antoine, that it's gotten easier, that they're in a better position, to me goes against the documented historical record here.
Well, I think for AD, it's a little different for him. He's got healthy. You got to think about it. He was the one guy that's been out a couple games throughout the season. So I think he feels good about his body. He's finally probably 100%. But they did not get better, Nick. I have to agree with you. They're missing Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley is going to be a huge miss for them if he's not going to be able to play. I know they picked up J.R. Smith, but he's no Avery Bradley when you think about what he's going to give them defensively. So. And they was playing their best basketball. LeBron was in a great groove. They had just beaten the Clippers and Milwaukee in the same week. LeBron James is leading the league in assists. It just was too many positive things going well for the Lakers. Now you got to kind of jumpstart this thing again without one a key quality player and out Dwight Howard too. Dwight Howard was a big part of what you've accomplished there as well. So the Lakers are going to be in a little trouble, but if it's one guy that you can count on that can get them back mentally and get them refocused, is LeBron James.
But go ahead. Jenna. It certainly seems like teams can go both ways on this. Some benefit by getting the rest, players that were banged up, dinged up, like Anthony Davis was, the wrist, the knee, the shoulder, all of it. And then there's other teams that they had their momentum halted. And it seems like the Lakers either benefit or didn't benefit kind of on both sides of this. Where do you think they fall? Were they in better shape before or are they going to be in better shape now? They are all veterans on this team, and they are all well-rested and healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony talked about, like, health, right? Obviously, the healthiest team is going to win. Ibaka says the Raps are healthy. They had a ton of injuries. Kemba says his knee is healed, so the Celtics are going to be good. Ben Simmons says he's back and better than ever, so maybe, who knows what the Sixers are going to do. 29-2 at home, by the way, so they're the best team in the league. They can go and make a run. But Antoine, I got a question for you, because another part of Anthony Davis's quote I thought was really interesting. If you could put it up. He said, if you're coming, this is about playing with no fans. If you're coming out of having a bad game, there's not going to be fans there trying to get you going. You're going to have, as we say on the team, bring your own energy. We're going to have to make sure that we do that every night, especially with no fans. I think we're motivated as a team and self-motivated to win, but it's definitely going to be different for all of us. So, Antoine, the question for you is that LeBron's job, or is the energy guy supposed to be someone else on the team? So, like, with the Warriors, it always feels like it's Draymond or like Patrick Beverley. Is that something LeBron's going to have to do? And the teams that you played for, was that your job, or was that like, ah, he's the energy guy, he's the guy who's going to set the tone?
Well, actually, it's going to be the guys are going to have to lock in and take it like summer basketball. You're going to have to come focused. And, you know, if you had, I come from Chicago, we played a ton of competitive basketball games where there's no fans in there. They got to come, you got to come self-motivated every day and come to play competitive pickup basketball. And that's, I don't know if that's going to come from LeBron. You know, LeBron's going to be focused. But I think Frank Vogel, the energy's got to be always up and high. But the one thing the Lakers do have an advantage about is their roster. If you look at their roster, you got guys like Rajon Rondo, J.R. Smith, guys that have won titles, Danny Green. So they have been in that this type of environment where everything's about winning the title. So they won't have any problems, I think, clicking it on. But can they get that rhythm back that they had before this, obviously, the pandemic? I don't know. This remains to be seen. But they do have the best player in the world who seems very motivated and ready to go. So I'm interested to see it. But it's going to take some time. That first couple of weeks could be tough for the Lakers.
And fortunately for them, they've earned the one seed already, essentially, so they don't have to play great in the restart. I know if they lose that first game against the Clippers, again, everyone will act like that is the biggest story in the world. Lakers now 1-3 against the Clippers. I don't know how much that game's going to matter for either of those teams. But I, to me, if you look at this dispassionately, if there wasn't a level of LeBron James derangement syndrome in certain corners of the media where you try to reverse engineer a way to discredit whatever his accomplishments have been or whatever future accomplishments would be, we would all be in agreement that if we're ranking the teams who were most adversely affected by the season stopping, the Lakers are number one. They were playing their best basketball of the season. They had, their best player, LeBron, had been the best player in the league for two consecutive months. They were healthy, unlike other teams. And I'm going to harp on this. Home court advantage in the NBA matters. Any team that was going to beat them was potentially going to have to win a Game 7 on LeBron James's floor. A guy who hasn't lost a Game 7 since 2008, a game when he scored 45. Antoine, I don't know if you were on that Celtics, you know, you weren't still on that Celtics team, but it was against the Celtics in, I think, 2008. Like, the idea that the Lake, and by the way, of all the contenders, Avery Bradley's the only one that's a starter on a top flight contender that we know is out of this thing. Everything that could have happened to work against the Lakers wilds to me is already happening. If they do win the, it's why the asterisk conversation is such an absurdity. If they win the title, they will have done it with a far greater degree of difficulty, Kevin, than they otherwise were going to have to deal with under non-pandemic circumstances.
Well, it's the same with the Bucks, right? They're all going through the same stuff. But Nick, I'll throw it back to you. They've got the number one seed. When would Nick Wright's worry meter, when would the hand start going through the hair
of
those first eight games? You lose one, okay. Lose two, when do you start to get nervous and you see the Trailblazers sneaking up and Dame, here comes Dame, looking to make a name for himself again, knocking big teams out. When would you get nervous?
When would I be nervous? So you weren't with the show yet, but this was in 2018. This was Jenna's constant question.
Yeah.
Like, when am I finally going to be nervous that the Cavs aren't going to make the
Every
finals?
Every day I asked him.
And
Wiles.
she thought she had me when they were down 3-2 to the Celtics in a series they didn't have home court
wrong.
Advantage. And I told Jenna then, and I will tell you now, here's when I'll be worried. When they're down double digits in the fourth quarter of an elimination game. That's when I'll be worried about the Lakers.
Oh, my goodness.
They're
0-8,
I don't see that. What, say it again?
If they were 0-8 going into the playoffs.
Oh, they're not going to be 0-8 going into the playoffs, and they're not going to have any trouble, Antoine, with any of the first-round matchups. Now, I will tell you this. Jenna, I do think if the Rockets move up to the 4-5, I think that's a tough matchup for the Lakers. And I think the Rockets are a team that has benefited immensely from the rest because Russ and Harden, after such a high workload, get time off. So that could be a tougher round two matchup than I anticipate. But if they're healthy, you know, physically and virus-wise, I'm not going to be too concerned, Jenna.
Antoine, I've known Nick a long time. I mean, there's stress and then there's really stress. Nick seems really stressed out about the Lakers, and I don't know if he deeply feels it or he wants to sort of set up a little padding for himself should they come out of the gate and lose a couple games and he can say, see, I told you so. You don't seem nearly as concerned, even though they're missing Avery Bradley, maybe even Dwight. You don't seem nearly as concerned about their restart as he is.
No, because LeBron James is taking care of his body. We know that. He's done the right things in this pandemic to get himself together. AD's probably even 110%. He was probably 100%. He's 110% now. And I like that veteran leadership. I think their focus is totally different than some of these other teams that are out there. It's championship but nothing for them. So I just believe that their focus is just a little bit different. And the veterans they got on their team, the Danny Greens, the Rondos, the J.R. Smiths, those guys understand the importance of what LeBron's trying to accomplish, and that's trying to win his fourth title, and they'll be ready to go. They just need to win a couple of games, so they'll still be able to catch their rhythm, either win a couple of games to ensure the number one seed, and then after that, they can get focused. They're going to have maybe an easy first-round matchup, and then the second and third round is going to be very difficult to get to the finals.
I just to be very clear here, put a pin in it, I'm not worried. I have, before the season, mid-season, right after the stoppage, and right now, Lakers over Bucks in six is the pick. It's always been the pick, and I won't waver from it. So it's not a level of concern. It is, and Wilds, to steal a phrase from you, it is my commitment to take integrity that I must convey to the audience that if we are ranking teams that have been most adversely affected by the stoppage, the Lakers and the Bucks are at the top because they earned the most, and where the Lakers have been more adversely affected, they lost Avery Bradley, and LeBron wasn't dinged up at the end of the regular season the way Giannis was. So of all the teams who have been negatively affected, I would say it's Lakers, and then you could argue the Grizzlies because it seems like the NBA is trying to find a way to make sure they don't make the playoffs. So that's the point I'm making, but it doesn't mean I have any. My level of concern has not even raised to win the last team to win a title in America. The Chiefs were down 24 points to the Texans. Like, I was moderately concerned when that happened, and we all know how that turned out too, Jenna.
All right, you're not worried, but you're very, very stressed out this morning. I think we're all a little stressed out. All right, let's talk some football on the other side. Bring Cam Newton back into the conversation. Is Cam a lock to be the week one starter for the Patriots? First things first.
This makes me angry.
This morning, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' dreams of a dynasty. The $500 million man met with reporters over Zoom yesterday to talk about, among other things, his shiny new contract. So right after signing it, Mahomes puts out a hype video, which ends in fairly simple terms, we're chasing a dynasty. So here's Mahomes now on the one specific dynasty he wants to emulate. Take a listen.
I think watching The Last Dance and watching Michael and all the stuff that he did, and that he's done and all the success he has, I mean, it's just affirmation. I mean, it's something that I've always believed in those things about the legacy, about going out there and being the best player and having the best teammates around me. And it's not about one person. It's about the team. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I think you see that with our whole entire team. As you see, we have a lot of these guys coming back that want to be a part of this. They want to be a part of this culture. They want to be a part of trying to build a dynasty because those things aren't easy to do. And we understand that. So it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And I feel like we have that with the guys we have in this locker room.
So, Nick, let me start with you. Mahomes is on a path to be great. Nobody's going to deny that. But which career path do you think is more likely for Patrick Mahomes? Tom Brady 6 rings or Aaron Rodgers 1 ring?
Oh, that's a great question. And the I think the smart money, obviously, would be somewhere in the middle. I think Patrick's going to end up with a nice round 4 Super Bowl championships. But if you're telling me it's going to be one of the two doors, door number one is that he matches Brady's 6, or door number two is that he never wins another Super Bowl, the obvious and I think only plausible choice is door number one. It would be an all-time sports upset if Patrick Mahomes never wins another Super Bowl. Everything is set up as perfectly as it can be for this Chiefs team and for Patrick to be the face of the next dynasty in the NFL. They are young. They are talented. They have an excellent front office. They have a Hall of Fame coach. They have a division that does not have a single other established team or established quarterback. And we just saw them win a championship under the most adverse possible circumstances. Patrick Mahomes got carted off the field with a dislocated kneecap in week six. They were down 24 points in their first playoff game. They were down double digits in all of their playoff games. It was a year where 6 teams won a dozen or more games, and yet they still won the championship. So I understand the hesitation on saying anyone is ever going to match Brady's 6. But if it's you're asking me, Coach, what's more likely, he never wins again, or he has a run like Brady as a player that is more physically talented than Brady? The answer is obviously that he has a run like Brady, Coach.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for anybody to match 6 Super Bowls, but I have to say I've been really impressed with Patrick Mahomes and the decisions that he's made recently, and even the way that he talks and the perspective that he has. It says a lot about him when he's in the position that he's in to take the contract that he took. And as much as we're talking about it being a $500 million contract, that's not the reality in the short term. It's $21 million a year over the first 3 years. That's the average. Only $63 million is guaranteed. He's the 13th highest paid player on the team this year. But that being said, that allows the Chiefs to continue to maintain players, good players that they have, and the potential to do things in terms of bringing other players in. He had them over a barrel, and he didn't use all his leverage to force them into a situation that would make it harder to compete year in and year out. And that perspective for a young guy is really unique, and I have a ton of respect for the decision he made.
So, Coach, I have a question for you. When Patrick Mahomes is talking about Michael Jordan and the importance of building a dynasty, and Nick, I have something for you a little bit later. That dynasty was Phil and Scotty and Michael, and later, you know, Steve Kerr and John Paxson kind of switched out. The Patriots dynasty is like Brady and Belichick, and you see the stats, like, they all turn over. It's just a tremendous amount of turnover. So how do the Chiefs, or how important it is to have continuity within that Chiefs? Like we were talking about yesterday, like this is a message to the guys in the locker room that Patrick Mahomes wants a dynasty. I'm like, yeah, and guys in other locker rooms and guys in college, because most of those Chiefs won't be around if this dynasty, it really gets off the ground.
Yeah, well, the one thing I'll say though, Kevin, is with the New England dynasty, the importance that Tom played, not just in ability, but his willingness to be coached, his willingness to be unselfish, his willingness to do things that are different than other quarterbacks in his position did, that allowed flexibility to adjust year in and year out and be competitive year in and year out. And that's what I like the most about what I'm seeing from Patrick Mahomes and the contract that he did sign.
Hey, Coach, let me just ask you a quick question. We've had you on the show now for, you know, the last couple of years. And since Patrick Mahomes started picking up speed, you've kept saying all along, I want to see more, I want to see more, prove it to me, prove it to me. Even after he won the Super Bowl, there was a little of, well, before we talk long-term contracts and Hall of Fame and all of it, I want to see more. Do you feel like even in this short period of time, you've seen enough that you know he is on now for sure this trajectory?
Well, no, not at all. And as much as Nick wants to celebrate the Super Bowls that they're going to win, it is really hard. The greatest thing that they did and the greatest thing that he did was negotiate a contract that gives the team a chance to compete year in and year out. And I know we talk about the $500 million number, but it's not, that's not what he signed. Yeah, it is, but it's artificial. It's down the line. But in the short term, he gives them the chance to actually to maintain talent, to get talent. And he's also sending a very clear message that he's willing to sacrifice in order for the greater good. And that's as powerful a message as you can have in a locker room. And it's like when we talk about Tom versus Cam, and I know we'll get into that later. When your best player is a selfless guy and everybody looks at him and says, okay, he's willing to do that, it's so much easier to get the locker room around him to do the same thing. That is a huge step for the Chiefs.
Listen, the team obviously loves him. The players, I mean, obviously the organization. And Coach's point about the flexibility this leaves the team is a great one. If you got to look at this contract in almost three different buckets, in that over the next 3 years, his cap hit will never hit $30 million. Over the following 4 years, it stays around $40 million. And then over the years 8 through 12 is when it's around $50 million. And that's so far down the road. We don't know what the cap will be, and we don't know what different changes the team would make. To Wild's point about the Patriots just being Brady and Belichick, over the totality of the run, that's correct. But they won their Super Bowls in two short windows. They won three in the first four in the very beginning. Then they won three out of five at the end. And in that first four-year run, when they won those three Super Bowls, there was a core of guys who were there. There was was Brewski and Vrabel and Ted Johnson and mostly defensive guys. And then on the back end with those other three Super Bowls, Brady, Edelman, Gronk are there for all of it. So it's incumbent on the Chiefs, obviously, right now with Mahomes, Kelce, Hill, and the head coach Andy Reid to rack up another one or another two as quickly as possible. And, Kevin, the reason I'm so bullish on it is, look at the – I mentioned there's no one established in the division, but look at the AFC. Here's the full list of AFC quarterbacks who've won a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger. That's it. Full list of AFC quarterbacks who've been to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, and Cam Newton. That's
there
it.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, in the young guys in the AFC Wilds, his biggest rival, Lamar, has never beaten him. His next biggest rival, Deshaun, just lost a 24-point lead to him. So I do feel like this, like the time, the moment is available to them right now to win a couple more in the next 2-3 years, Wilds.
Yeah, but...
All right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's other things that go into play. Yeah, they signed him to a contract. He hasn't gotten any better because he's making more money. Okay, that all they've done is sign him to a contract extension. That's good news, but there's a ton of lessons that have to be learned going into this next season. You need to learn how to deal with success, and there's going to be a bunch of players in that locker room that says, okay, Patrick got paid. I was responsible for this Super Bowl win, too. I need to get paid. And that unselfish attitude, it doesn't translate to every single person. Then there's this understanding that you are now the hunted, and every single game people are giving you their best shot. So you better develop. You better get better. You better make strides. You don't get to start where you left off. Yeah, they signed the contract. That's great. It doesn't change anything. They didn't add a player. They just paid a player more money.
Right, which is why it's fortunate they don't need to get better because they just won the title. And the guy, Kelce's under contract. Hill just got his contract. Honey Badger just got his contract. Frank Clark just got his contract. Chris Jones is the one guy, Wilds, that is, you know, awaiting a new deal, and we'll see what they do with him. But I know you wanted to get in, Wilds. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to blow up the segment because every time we talk about The Last Dance and Patrick Mahomes, I know it puts you in a bind because you got Jordan and Mahomes here. So the question to you is this, Nick. We've heard you say a lot. You got like Patrick Mahomes has to win 3 Super Bowls, has to win 4 Super Bowls, but your buddy LeBron gets to the finals and loses. You said it's not a big deal. We shouldn't be ring counting. That's not what it's about. So if Patrick Mahomes had a Jim Kelly-esque run here, would you be satisfied with that?
No. And again, maybe I'm wrong, Wilds. I apologize. I do think LeBron's got 3 titles. About to have a 4th. I think that's correct. I'm not the expert on this.
Yeah, that's true.
But so I don't think Patrick Mahomes, just like LeBron, doesn't need 6 rings to be better than Jordan. He's already better than Jordan. Mahomes won't, at the end of his career, have to get to 6 rings to be considered the greatest quarterback ever. Now, I won't call him the greatest quarterback ever right now. That would be a bridge too far. I think he's the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. But if Mahomes has Peyton Manning's regular season resume of a fistful of MVPs to go along with 3 or 4 rings, and then I think it will be a real conversation whether he gets to 6 rings or not. And so LeBron wouldn't be in the discussion if in those 9 finals appearances he had only won 1 of them, but he's won 3 of them. And so it's a little apples and oranges. I see Coach shaking his head on the ring chasing part, like, or the count the rings part of it. Hold on. Go ahead.
Your kiss of death. What you just said is the perfect example of kiss of death. You said they don't need to add any more talent. They just won the Super Bowl. That is the absolute wrong attitude. And I don't know why we're comparing him to basketball. Compare him to the Patriots. Forget about the basketball comparison. Let's talk about Pats.
Well, is he already a Hall of Famer? We're going to drive Coach a little crazier a little later. Let's talk some hoops. Who's going to be the bigger star in the NBA bubble, Tatum or Embiid? Antoine Walker joins us next to discuss. First things first. On Sunday, NASCAR Cup Series action takes off from Kentucky Speedway, 2:30 Eastern on FS1. Then how about this? For the first time ever, on Wednesday, the NASCAR All-Star Race takes on the short track at Bristol Motor Speedway. You can see all your favorite drivers in action starting at 8:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Looking forward to that. We're back here with Chris Broussard. Time for stories to start your morning, Broussard. Nice. Here we go. The Nets signed Jamal Crawford to a 1-year deal yesterday. Remember, Brooklyn had 3 vacant roster spots after traveling to Orlando Tuesday with only 12 healthy players. Nick, start with you. The last game Jamal Crawford played and he scored 51 points. How many points do you think he averages when the NBA picks up again?
Oh, all of a sudden he's going to have to be one of the Nets' go-to scorers. So in the Nets' very abbreviated run, I think he could average, 18 points a game because I think he's going to get the opportunities. Now listen, Jamal's old. Everyone loves him. If he balls out, maybe he gets a spot in the league next year. I think it's probably a wrap for him, Wilds, but I'm excited to see him get one kind of farewell tour and see if he catches on somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right about 18, Nick, but I think it's going to be a weird 18. I think there's going to be some games with 9. I think there'll be a game with like 31. So I'm expecting a big performance out of Jamal Broussard.
Man, I hope both you guys are right. I love Jamal Crawford. He's one of my favorite guys in the league. He's a lot of people's one of their favorite guys. A lot of people say he's your favorite player. But 18, wow. I know, look, his last games he played, he averaged 35 points. A gentleman of 51. Yes. But it's hard to see that. I say 12.
Okay. All right, well, let's stick with Brooklyn. They still have those 2 spots to fill. They're reportedly moving toward a deal with Michael Beasley. Nick, let's how go. Much do you think Durant's friendship with Beasley maybe would influence this signing?
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant maybe hasn't played a game for the Nets, but he helped oust the coach. I think he's already picking the next one, and now he's doing the roster spots as well. So KD's got his hands in a lot of pots right now. Good for him, keeping himself busy while he's rehabbing. We hope to see him back as one of the 5 best players in the world next time he's on the court, probably with Ty Lue, his hand-picked coach, and maybe Beasley catches on full-time with him as well. It's exciting. DeAndre That's Jordan right. in the starting lineup the way he wants is, it's all coming up KD right now, Wilds.
I love it. Look, he's number 2 pick. He never, like, really hit his potential. But KD always thought that he never got a fair shot. Thinks he can play in the league at the high level. Broussard, they still have one more spot. I want to see Isaiah Thomas on that team, too.
Hey, that's not a bad name. It is so interesting how Kevin Durant is just following in the footsteps of LeBron. You mentioned it. Look, he joined the super team. He started the boardroom, kind of like more than an athlete. Then he left picking the super team. Now he's picking the coaches and the players on the roster. I like it. And look, it's slim pickings out there. Beasley is a scorer. And I think, hey, if he's on the team, he deserves to be.
I'm sure KD would love to know that he's following in LeBron's footsteps. All right, moving on to Kawhi Leonard now.
He bought a soccer team, too.
He did.
Oh, good call.
Chris Haynes reported last night Kawhi did not travel with the Clippers to Orlando on Wednesday, reportedly given permission by the team to tend to a family matter. We are hearing he'll join the team in the next couple of days. The other concerning part of this story, guys, is health. So The Athletic put out an article yesterday asking, in part, is he closer to 100% now? Did the time off even make a difference? Will he rest during the team's back-to-back against Portland and Brooklyn? Is he on a minutes limit? Will that change in the postseason? We still have countless questions regarding Leonard's status. I hear Broussard laughing, but Nick, we'll start with you. Cause for concern when it comes to Kawhi holding up through the NBA restart?
Of course. This is one of the biggest concerns in the NBA, and it has been over the last 4 years. The last time Kawhi Leonard made it through into season injury-free without massive load management, without laboring at the end of the year, Barack Obama was the president of the United States. It's been that long. And last year, despite the fact that he sat out 25% of the games, Broussard, after his brilliant, all-time, out-of-this-world playoff series against the Sixers, where he averaged 35-10-4, 40 minutes a night, was the best player on the court, and hit the game-winning shot. What did we see in the next two rounds? Every other game, he was laboring. Every other game, it was a quad. Every other game, you weren't sure what you were quite going to be able to get out of him minutes-wise and athletically, because he has a condition. I don't even know if it's an injury. It's a condition, I guess. And so, Broussard, in the last 6 years, he's played more than 450 playoff minutes once. So, yeah, for your beloved Clippers, who I think you have going faux, 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 a la Moses Malone's Sixers, I think that, you know, this is the massive concern. I mean, they said in the Athletic article, Broussard, we don't know if he's going to play the back-to-back. I do. I know. He's not going to play the back-to-back. I can tell you that right now. And so, yeah, Chris, this is the biggest concern for your anointed champion Clippers.
First of all, let me clear up some fake news. I am more of a Lakers fan than a Clippers fan. More of a LeBron fan.
We never know it, Broussard. Wouldn't know it.
Unlike some people on this show who will remain nameless, I pick with my head, not my heart. So I have picked the
shots fired.
I'm a huge Clippers fan. But I will look, there's no denying that Kawhi's health is always a concern. Everything I'm hearing is that he's fine and that he's healthy, that he's been working hard. And also, look, let's remember, he does move to the beat of his own drum. In Toronto, he obviously had his medical guy. You know, he sat out a lot of games. With the Clippers, he has his own medical guy. You know, so I'm not shocked that he's traveling on his own. He's kind of done that. But Nick is right in that there's some type of degenerative condition with that knee. I was saying, you know, a few weeks ago that I expected him to probably have load management for these 8 regular season games. I mean, he may play 7, he may play 6. I'd be shocked if he played all 8. He probably will sit that back-to-back. But when it's playoff time, I do think he'll be there to play. You know, there could be a game or two where he's laboring, to use Nick's word. But the bottom line is, when the dude plays, he produces. So if he can be the Kawhi he was in the regular season, even the Kawhi he was last year in the playoffs, despite the knee bothering him a little bit, then the Clippers should be in pretty good shape.
Guys, what? Go ahead, Wiles. I was going to say, what am I missing here? The guy's had 4 months off. He's going to come back in with some load management. I know everyone's had 4 months off, but 4 months, if you got a condition potentially that requires some rest, this is all the rest you could possibly need. What am I missing?
There's something going on with that knee. There is really, I think, a degenerative condition with that knee. Mm-hmm. That no matter how much time he has off, he's going to have to manage it. And I think playing a lot of back-to-backs would really bother that knee over the long haul.
Go ahead, Wilds.
So I guess I got a question for Nick. Like, Nick, you sometimes sound like a Clippers fan. So my head is spinning because you sound like a Clippers fan. Broussard, who always sounds like a Clippers fan, is now claiming that he's the Lakers fan. So I'm caught in the middle of this marriage. It's very difficult. So, Nick, here's the weird thing. If you want to root for the Clippers, which it feels like you kind of do, I don't know if you want LeBron to get over the Clippers hump there. The good thing about when he was load managing in Toronto is Toronto was still good. He would sit out, and then Raptors went 17-5. When he sits out with the Clippers, they're not good. They're 6-7. And granted, two of those games were without Paul George, so it's sort of a double whammy for the Clippers. But we know that he load managed his way to a championship. So, like, why are you worried about load management right now, Nick?
Okay, so a number of things. I'm concerned because we cannot be so results-based. Everyone, so here's the deal,
oh my
right?
God.
Last year, hold on. Last year, were the two most load managed players in the sport? Kawhi and Joel Embiid. They played each other in a playoff series. So whoever won, you could argue, well, load management worked. Somebody had to win that series. In the finals, if people believe the Raptors would have beaten a healthy Warriors team, then more power to them. I saw a Warriors team that had Kevin Durant for a quarter and a half, had Klay Thompson blow out his knee, still have him in a two-point game with a minute left in game six of the finals. And be that close to a game seven. So this idea that, well, Kawhi has hacked the system. This is how you succeed in the NBA. The way you succeed at playing basketball is to actually not play basketball. I find that to be curious. You mentioned they're 6-7 in the games he's missed. Now they are getting almost let off the hook's the wrong word, but they're not being punished for the fact that they are the three. They're probably going to end up being the three seed due to some of that load management. But due to the fact that there's no home court advantage. But Jenna, you say he's had 4 months off. We started talking about this load management thing before it was in vogue on October 30th because I was sounding the alarm, Broussard, that it wasn't Halloween. He had just already had an off season and he was already missing games. And so it is, there is no amount of rest, evidently, that it would appear that Kawhi can get to where he can play a regular NBA schedule. Like every other superstar we have ever seen in the history of the league this side of Bill Walton. And so you just have to bake that into it. And it is a massive concern. And I think Broussard, Wilds' point that the Raptors had a more well-rounded team to where they could deal with him not being at 100% or him not playing is an important one for this postseason. The Clippers traded away a lot of that depth to get Paul George, and if Kawhi isn't fully functional Kawhi, they're in a bad spot against any Western Conference playoff team.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt the Clippers cannot win the championship without Kawhi Leonard. It's as simple as that. I think, yeah. Can they win a series? Maybe. But they can't win it without him. Toronto, remember, they were in the East, and they didn't play the playoffs without Kawhi. In the regular season, they were fine. They wouldn't have went very far in the playoffs without Kawhi, I don't believe. I don't think they would have gotten past Philadelphia. They barely did, even with Kawhi.
Yep.
Obviously, they wouldn't have beat the Clippers, Nick, or the Warriors. Nick is right about that. So, yeah, this is concerning. They don't have a prayer of winning the championship or going deep in the playoffs if Kawhi Leonard cannot beat Kawhi Leonard.